Looking at the world today, we might easily forget that the main purpose of our life, you could call it the heart of being human, is to be happy. All of us share the same wish and the same right to seek happiness and avoid suffering. Even following a spiritual path or the religious life is a quest for happiness. Ritu Gattori.
Welcome to the Lost Traveler podcast, season four opener. I am very, very excited today to meet a new friend, Rahul Sharma. And I just found out that he lives near my hometown of Washington, D.C. He's a public speaker. He's a published author. You have a new book coming out next month, I believe.
That is correct.
We can talk a little bit about that. I'll definitely put all the links to your website and to your books in the description. But welcome, Rahul, and let's get started.
Sure. Thank you, Henry. Thank you for inviting me on this podcast. And what you are doing for the community is something many people will relate to. So thank you for doing this community service. Appreciate it.
Thank you. I do see it as a community service. You know, with our sponsorships for the podcast, 100% goes to charitable organizations around the world. And that feels really good for someone who who's an artist at heart. And very often we don't have cash in pocket to donate to charitable causes. But through something like this, this is a vehicle for not only bringing support, that kind of support, but also information. You know, we touched on it briefly that the Lost Traveler podcast is really born out of a feeling globally that people are quite lost. And even those of us that are coaches and mentors and dealing with the public and dealing one-on-one as well with people who are feeling like they need a little extra support on their journey. We feel the same way sometimes, don't we?
Absolutely. And I have been into that path not too long ago, 2 years ago. And it was bringing a lot of negativity in my mind. And then I just thought that this is not who am I. And that actually inspired me, that situation inspired me to write my first book, Be Action Oriented. And I wrote about all the action that I personally took to revive from that situation. And no one is separated from this thought process of being lost. It's natural and it's okay if we have it. Only thing, my request would be find a choice, find the right mentor who can guide you when you are feeling low, because I believe that everything is possible. You have to have right people in your inner circle.
Absolutely. Everything is possible. I want to share with you a pivotal moment in my life that really woke me up to that. I look back, one looks back over their biography, and in hindsight, we can see how obviously one thing led to the next, to the next, to this very moment and this conversation. That's so important. 14 years ago, sadly lost my only child and to brain cancer. He was 13 years old. And when he was in his last few months on the planet, he couldn't do a whole lot physically, and he was on steroids, and that had disfigured him a bit. But one of the things that he could do and that he loved to do was watch documentaries about the universe, about the stars, about the great mysteries of the cosmos. And I was in the kitchen doing something, and I heard on whatever program that he was watching, I heard the narrator say, "You can fit 14 planet Earths in the North Pole of Saturn." I thought, what? It's that big? Because every image of Saturn I've ever seen is no bigger than the page that it's depicted on or on my mobile phone, right? I mean, we have such a weird sense of scale, human beings. And so I poked my head around the corner and they showed a graphic of Saturn and boop, 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 you know, 14 planet Earths on the crown of Saturn. And then they put Saturn next to Jupiter and Saturn was dwarfed and you could barely see the Earth, not even a speck. And then they put Jupiter next to the sun, our star, and Jupiter was dwarfed and you couldn't see Saturn anymore. And then they put the sun next to the next largest star and that one to the next largest star and the one next to that. And it just kept going. And the largest star, I think it's called Betelgeuse in our solar system, or our corner of the solar system or the galaxy. It takes like something crazy, like 1,500 years to do one orbit around this star. We are so micro, nano, 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 micro, nano, nano time. This woke me up. We are so tiny. And the biggest vision that we could possibly have for our lives and our world is still so micro, nano, nano, tiny compared to everything outside of it in the known and unknown universe. So all bets are off. Everything is possible. That's what that moment woke me up.
Absolutely.
What were some pivotal moments for you in your upbringing that, you know, that just sort of brought you to where you are?
So one of the moment, it was, there was a time I used to be a chain smoker. And the story started with my roommate working for a cigarette company who was launching their new brand. And he was hired to promote that brand.
Yeah.
And for them to promote, they used to give free packets so that they can distribute it. And it was kept in my room. And one day the voice in my head said, shall we try? Shall we not? Shall I try? And I gave it in and then I tried. And which ended up for me to smoke for almost 10 years.
Wow.
And the moment came in when I wanted to let it go. It was not an easy step for me. Right. I tried multiple things, Henry. I tried to not to buy a packet. I tried to just borrow it from my friends. I tried that, okay, let me just smoke when I'm drinking or when I'm in a social gathering, but nothing happened. But one moment, one day, I did a mind talk, self-talk, positive affirmation that I need to get it done. I went to a temple in India, and I prayed to God to give me the strength to let this bad habit go. And it was 27th of March of 2011. When I smoked my last cigarette. Wow. And that moment made me feel very strong and made me feel that if I can let go of this one of the bad habit due to my positive affirmation, due to my positive mind talk, I can conquer the world. And that has really made a difference in my life thereafter.
Well, and you had to follow that impulse, and good for you. Bravo. I know that step. It's not an easy one to take. And there are many, many things in our world, man-made things that we can easily become addicted to. And it's hard to break those patterns. But I, like you, I really honor your example, because there are people who are feeling like it is bigger than me. I cannot do it. And you felt that it was bigger than you. You had to go to a temple to ask permission, in a way, you know, to take that next step. How much does your faith play in your professional world and your work as an author, as a speaker? You say you're from India.
Mm-hmm.
What part of India are you from?
I'm central India. So the city or the state I represent is called as the heart of India. It is a central, so it's called Madhya Pradesh MP, and faith is big. My father has been an administrator for one of the very famous temple in India for Lord Shiva in Ujjain. Wow. And so my family, we have a priest that comes in to my home in the morning and the evening because we have a mini temple at home. And from that legacy, I'm just breathing those values. So I firmly believe in faith. I firmly believe that there is a hope, there is someone protecting us. And in my life, I have seen a few examples. I have been into two near-death situations. And it was that Almighty who saved my life. I firmly believe. I firmly believe that there is someone who is watching us, who is helping us, who is giving that direction. And so to answer the question, I firmly believe. In the professional world, so there are, you know, you meet many, many professionals. It's your personal choice. And I cannot invoke that choice in the professional world. So whatever faith, belief I have, it's more on a personal side. The book that I was being able to author, I thank the Almighty. I thank that time when I decided to write it down. Mm-hmm. It's been 20 years I have been in profession. I could have written it 10 years ago, but there has to be a time, right time. And it is all written in the destiny.
And only you know,
mm-hmm.
only you and your creator know when that right. time is right, whether it's to give up smoking and then you never smoke another one. You know, some people have to chew gum or wear a patch or mm-hmm. go through mm-hmm. a long, lengthy process. I have a dear Absolutely. Friend of mine who smoked her whole life and then mm-hmm. got lung cancer. Mm-hmm. If that wasn't a wake-up call, I don't know what is, but she... Even after her diagnosis, she kept saying to me, I will know when the day comes when I've smoked my last one. And I believe that we have the power to define those parameters.
Shadow and Light LLC was established by Dave Roberts and Reverend Patty Farino, co-authors of When the Psychology Professor Met the Minister. Their mission is to empower individuals to transcend life challenges by integrating spiritual practices with psychology to achieve peace. They are available for individualized spiritual counseling, virtual or in-person presentations and workshops to universities, organizations, and other interested groups, virtual or in-person book club meetings. For further information, go to psychologyprofessorandminister.com.
The reason I asked you about your faith and your professional life was because your new book coming out mm-hmm. Is called Habits for Miracles.
Correct.
And miracles are usually tied to faith, right? The yes. belief in the unseen.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Or the super sensible around us. So I wondered if there was a bridge there.
Yes, yes, yes. And one thing I would say, Henry, is when we know the day is coming or the time is coming, it is we who have to take action.
Yes.
No one else will take action on our behalf. People can guide us. People can give direction. But the ultimate authority to take that first step is us. It's within the, we have that power.
That's right.
And we will take action when we are thinking positive, when our mindset is right, when the people around us are giving us positive vibes and the people around us are supportive. So it's all within us. We have that power.
Do you feel like that is, sorry to interrupt, do you feel like those circles are more prevalent in the world or are they rare in our time?
I would say rare. I would say rare. And the reason I would say rare is when I do this exercise with my learners about writing the names of people who are in their inner circle, I encourage them to write more names. So I give them three times. I ask them to write the names. When they write the first time, it is probably maybe 8 to 10 names on the first page of their sheet. I encourage them to go to at least second or third page. And 9 out of 10 times, when I have asked them a question, that out of these three people who are in these three pages, who you think have been more supportive for you in the things that you want to do? And the answer comes in from someone from page 2, someone from page 3, not on the page 1.
Wow.
So that is a life-changing moment, or probably a moment for most of us that, okay, so the people who I talk to on a daily basis, they are not in my favor. No, I would not say that. But 9 out of 10 times, the people who will go extra mile for you would be the one that you not even know. Someone that you met in social media, someone you just met in a coffee shop, someone you met in a transit to your work.
Yeah.
Those could be the people who would probably be more supportive, versus the folks in the inner circle, the folks who know you in and out. And one of the reasons I think that happens is because when you know each other very well, you at times see the potential in a very limited belief. You know that this person has not done this before, so he or she will not be able to do it.
Right.
Whereas the person who don't know you well, they are for them, you are a blank check. You know, yes. They want to take a bet on you. They want to support you. They want to help you. And that's where sometimes the miracle happens. Sometimes you meet with that individual who will go all out and support you. So that's what I have observed.
I love, I think one of the callings that I have in my life, and when I say a calling, it's when that deep joy in your soul meets a great need in the world. And I feel that I've always been sensitive to my callings. And this past year, in 2022, emerged for me unexpectedly, which is part of the delight, is a young man in Uganda reached out. Actually, he didn't reach out to me. He reached out to a friend of mine who's an early childhood educator in the US, in Massachusetts. And he was explaining to him that, to my friend, that he had rescued and adopted 33 children off the streets of the capital city. These are children who had been orphaned or abused or otherwise compromised, traumatized, you name it, ages 2 to 14 years old. And the older ones were a little bit easier to handle because they were in school. But the younger ones, the boy is 28 years old who did this. Wow. He had no foundation in education. He's a farmer from a small village. You know that world. I know that world. I'm in a tiny little village in Spain right now, and I see a lot of similarities. And my friend said, Henry, he needs a mentor. And I think you're it. So I got in touch with this young man. And since it's been about a year now, I've been mentoring him. And it's been one of the greatest joys of my life to be that for him, because there are things that we glean in the West that are not quite there yet in developing countries. I really don't like the term third world, because it denotes a status, which I don't believe in. So there are countries that are still coming back from colonization and that are still developing into their highest degree of functionality and community health. I spent a couple of weeks in Fiji, for instance. I was asked by the United Nations to do a project for young people ages 18 to 30 that used folkloric theater to imagine and forward a new vision for the future of their country. What a gift.
Mm.
You know, and I see this universally happening all around the world. And I'm curious about, in your work, in your travels, since leaving India, which I'm sure was a big turning point for you.
Sure.
What was that like, stepping out of what you knew and your not only your own biography, but your parents' biography, your grandparents, your great-grandparents? I know that in India, the family stories are still very much alive and traditions are very, very rich. Right. What was that like for you the first time you stepped out into the world broadly?
So when I decided to move out, and the reason for me to move out was education. I was in my fourth year of corporate world, and I was kind of getting saturated where I was. And I explored some opportunities, and I was in Mumbai that time, the business capital of India.
Sure.
I was working for an information technology company as the HR representative. And when I explored other opportunities, they didn't excite me. They didn't have that calling from me that, oh, yes, I should join that organization. And after a month or so, I thought that maybe it's time for me to, you know, learn something new. And I was very much interested in industrial and organizational structures, development, psychology. And I did some research to find out the right courses. And that's where Bowling Green State University in Ohio popped up. They were known for number one for the industrial and organizational psychology, yep, and number four for organization development. And so I decided to move out. When I was moving out, it was pretty exciting because I was looking forward to. But when I landed my first month, it was not as exciting as I wanted because I didn't have any family. There was no one there. It was all strangers, and it was little worrying to me that, okay, I left a comfortable place, and now I'm on my out of my comfort zone, and now I'm not able to do what I wanted to do.
Talk about a lost traveler.
yes. And then shall I take a step back? Is that something I want to do? Then something in my mind said that you have taken a step forward. Now going back is not the option.
Not an option.
You have to move forward. Because if you go back, you will be losing hope of many people who have supported you in this journey. That's so right. You are responsible for them. Knowingly and unknowingly, they might be following you. So I took a step forward, and here it's been 20 years that I've been in States. The only part I miss is still my family. But me and my wife, we make sure that we are traveling at least once a year with our kids, to make them meet with the family. I travel at least 2 to 3 times in a year and spend some time with my parents. So it's been blessing. This country, as we all know, is a land of opportunities. So it's a blessing for me, and I'm very fortunate that I'm here.
Hey, are you like me, always looking for ways to make a positive impact in the world? Well, then join me in sponsoring Desire Childcare Organization. We are a legally incorporated, fully volunteer-based organization in Uganda, committed to providing essential needs, holistic arts-based education, and a safe family environment to 33 vulnerable children, ages 2 to 14. Your monthly sponsorship can help improve the lives of these kids toward a better future. Desire Childcare is different from any other charity I know because, well, we have zero administrative overhead. Every penny goes to the kids. And we have a plan toward self-sufficiency through agriculture. So support is temporary. It's kind of like a leg up. Visit desirechildcare.org to learn more and get involved. Let's empower and inspire the Desire Kids together. Thanks.
Yeah, it's a
It's a lot of things. The U.S. could be a great land of opportunity, and there are a great many challenges still.
Absolutely.
And I know that's part of the lost feeling that a lot of people are experiencing right now, not only in America or in the Northern Hemisphere region, but I think that the United States has always had a reputation for being something to achieve. And there's been this sort of romanticized picture of the streets are paved with gold, you know. Of course they're not. It takes a lot of work, no matter where you are, no matter who you are. I have listeners now in 41 countries around the world.
Wow.
And I'm really focusing on the universality, the common ground of our humanity.
Mm-hmm.
Because in every culture that I've lived in or connected with, my father was a diplomat, a U.S. diplomat. So I lived in many countries and was surrounded in my foundation years by people from all over the world, who I'm still in touch with, a number of them. You know, it's amazing what technology has brought in our ability to traverse this tiny planet and still maintain our roots and our connections. What a miracle it is. I can pick up my mobile. I can be in the middle of the countryside here in Spain, up on a mountain, and I can say, hey, mom, look at this, you know?
Absolutely.
What an amazing time. And of course, you know, there's more access to these things in certain parts of the world than others.
Mm-hmm.
And so it can be limiting for a lot of people. I'm finding now, especially working with Uganda, and certainly with the indigenous youth that I worked with in Fiji, that there is a difference between the city folk and the country folk.
Yeah.
And so what would you say to someone who may be as poor as dirt and only be able to have any connection through a mobile phone to the world? They can pull up YouTube videos. They can, you know, find their way through that internet world. But how would you say, or maybe how have you taught your children how to navigate and how to figure out what is true?
Correct. And it's a coincidence that just a couple of days ago, I was speaking with my wife about the country folks and the folks who live in the posh cities or the metro cities. And we were talking specifically from the India perspective. And one of the common point that we were talking was, it's not about the English. Sometimes people think that, okay, you don't speak English or you are not worthy to be in this place. And I believe it's not about the language. It is about the manners. It is about the etiquettes. And it is about the hunger that you have in you.
Yeah.
If you have the hunger in you, you can do anything. You can conquer the world.
Yeah.
So the folks who stay in the countryside, they should be, in my opinion, they are fortunate. They are fortunate because they are more closer to the nature. They are fortunate that they are able to have fresh air. They are able to feel the nature. And when you are closer to nature, you are more accustomed to be silent. Silence is golden.
Yes.
And that those aspects, those moments, when you are silent, you are able to listen to yourself. You are able to listen to your calling. So my appeal to those people would be, just follow, talk to yourself, listen to yourself, and follow that grit that you have in you, follow that hunger, and you have everything that is needed to be successful.
Yeah.
No one should tell you that you cannot do this unless, except you. It is you who will define what you can do, what you cannot do.
Well, listen, one of the reasons I wanted to have you as a guest host on this episode is because so many published authors out there, you go to their websites and it's all promises. It's all, if you do this, or I have the answer to all of the troubles of the world, and this is the, you know, I mean, yes, I think we can be experts or have expertise. No one is an expert at living, and no one is an expert at being you. Mm-hmm. You are the only expert at being you.
Absolutely. Right? Mm-hmm.
And I think most, especially young people, and I do a lot of work with and for young people, all ages really, because we all have that inner child that still mm-hmm. needs mentorship. But I really focus a lot on young people today. And most, I would venture to say most of the young people that I've worked with, either in my theater work or in my life skills mentoring, have, when I ask them the question, what do you want? What is your heart's desire? They come back with a blank stare and they don't know. They don't know what the list of things that they know that they don't want comes quickly and you know, pages and pages. So I say, so start there. Start by making the list of the things that you don't want. If only 5-10 things come to your mind, write those down on the left side of the paper. And then across from each one of those points of what you don't want, write down the opposite of those things on the right side of the paper. Mm-hmm. And when you have matched each one with its opposite, tear the paper in half and get rid of the negative stuff. Mm-hmm. You don't have to think about the stuff that you don't want. If your focus is on the things that you do want, mm-hmm. that is the beginning of manifestation.
Absolutely.
It's a very simple exercise. Mm-hmm. Do you have tools like that you turn to that you found?
Yes. So before I go into the tool, I want to just mention what you said, that when you ask someone, what do you want? They go blind.
Yeah.
Some of the people I have met, they are able to speak, but it is not true to their heart. They're just speaking because they have to answer.
Right.
But it is not coming from the heart. So sometimes we fool ourselves.
Yes.
That is what we want. And that's very important, that we need to be true to ourselves. We need to be honest to ourselves when it comes to designing your life our way.
Greetings, greetings, greetings. I'm Queen Bee Divine. The cure is conversation. And where can you find me? At BluntReflections.com, where I will be talking to guests from around the world that not only share their time, but their insights and their tips on how they became the best version of who they were meant to be. So if you're looking for a great story and a great time, check me out at BluntReflections.com. The cure is conversation. And remember, blasé, blasé means to tell your story.
Coming back to tools, so one of the habits that I talk in Habits for Miracles is analyzation. And what I mention is doing the self-analysis, knowing who you are, what are your strengths, what are your areas of opportunities, what are the things that you are good at, is very, very important. When we know these things about us, it allows us to take an informed decision about our life. And there are multiple avenues where our listeners can log in and do these assessments.
Yep.
And I mentioned those websites on my book, but one of the free websites is 365test.com. Mm-hmm. And if you just Google a free personality assessment, free self-assessment tools,
it's a great tool. I'll put that in the link as
right,
well.
Right, right. But doing the assessment, in my opinion, is just half battle won.
Yeah.
Now you know, then what are the next steps?
That's
where the mentor comes in. That's where the coach comes in, who can review the results, who can guide you what you should do, what you should not do. So having a mentor in life is a boon. And it's so blessing.
The younger, the better. The younger you can get a mentor. And this is to all the parents out there. as your child is developing, you will hit a point when they're about 13, 14 years old where they will not hear a word you say. You cannot tell them what to do. You cannot tell them how to be. You cannot give them advice. So make sure that you're thinking ahead, and whether it's a friend of the family or a community leader or somebody even who they don't know, but who's in a profession that they may have an interest in going into, who can take them by the hand, take them out to lunch or a cup of coffee, tea, whatever, and sit down and have the conversations that you cannot have with your parents.
Absolutely. On that note, I will also make a request to parents. I'm a parent to a 10-year-old daughter and a 9-year-old son. And sometimes we believe as parents that, okay, we are the best mentor for them. We are the best coach. And unfortunately, it cannot be true. It is not, I would say it cannot be true. Okay, that may be an overstatement. I would say it's not true for me. There could be many folks, it may be working. Yeah. But in my opinion, in the folks that I have met, kids tend to take parents for granted. Yeah. And it is important for us to expose them to different people. So in my life, I have a basketball coach of my son who is his mentor. Yeah. His soccer coach is a mentor. For my daughter, her math tutor is a mentor. So what I have observed, that kids, they are more prone to listen to people outside than to listen to people internally, because internally they are listening every day.
That's right.
You are already teaching them. So they are probably learned it so much that they need a new exposure. And that's where the outside mentor or coach would be of help.
Absolutely. And not necessarily their teachers from school either, because again, it's too close to home. Mm-hmm. And parents also make sure to vet the people that you're bringing in as mentors, because there are a lot of people who are very lost out there, and you never know, no matter what community you're in, what those dynamics may play out. So,
correct.
You know, just be mindful is the suggestion. In my last episode of season 3, I had a wonderful guest, and I asked him to, I'll ask you, so just plant a seed in the back of your head. At the end of the episode, I asked him to ask a question for my next guest that they can answer. So we're about halfway through. I wanted to ask you the question that he asked for you specifically. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What makes your heart sing?
Ooh. As a parent, when I become a parent, I realize how much pain I would have given to my mother or my father when I used to come home with my knees crashed, with a bike accident, with anything which has impact on my body. When my son or my daughter get hurt, that's where I go bananas, and that's where I'm learning to stay more cool, more calm and composed. Not that I want them to have a fear in their mind. So I have to be very, very cautious on that. But inside my heart, that's where, it's sunk. And that's where it is something I'm learning how to overcome.
But what makes your heart sing, like in a good way? Like what, when you have those moments of feeling that nothing could be better than this, you know? Mm-hmm. What gets you to that state?
Right. So I have firmly believed that whatever we say or speak is always have a story. So there is a story. So when my son was 2.5 years old, I was on a business trip, very close, 2 hours drive, Richmond, Virginia. And he met with an accident inside the home. son and my son and daughter, they were playing, and he just jumped from a couch, and it was a hardwood floor, and he broke his arm. And then I drove, and that situation happened. A few months later, I was coming back from a business trip, and he was so excited. He was running, and he fell from the bed, and he hurt on the same right hand. And he is a good sport person, so he that is what his passion is. You know, he's waking up early in the morning to watch the games, so staying late on the weekends. So I feel that whenever he gets hurt, I feel that maybe what he wants to do, what his ambitions are, will have to. We have to have an alternative plans if he hurt himself. So about his future, about his, because I know how much he loves to stay fit, how much he loves to go outdoors. So that's where my mind goes, and that's where it makes me feel sad, or I feel in a different moment that what would happen. So that fear of unknown. So that is another, is a form of fear of unknown.
I love those moments of the unknown, of the great mysteries, and knowing what one can control and what is out of our control. I know athletes who were professional athletes who were in some horrible accident, and they lost a leg or lost an arm, and they could no longer do. But you know what, one of the miracles of our humanity is our adaptability. And the fact that your son, who loves being physically active, right? Sometimes your body is not going to let you be as active as you want to be. And so he's learning at 9, 10 years old, the skill, the universal life skill of adaptability. I think that is something that no matter who you are, we have 8 billion people on the planet right now. Wow, that's a lot. And they all of us are learning the same essential life skills: adaptability, communication skills, financial literacy, good hygiene, trade, whether you're trading stocks or you're trading a hand of rice for 3 oranges, you're still engaging in the same act. And so we are already learning these essential life skills. Grief, right? We all learn them. The question is not whether or not we learn these skills. It's in what measure and from whom are we learning these skills? That is why mentorship is so important.
Balance, pain mitigation, range of motion, athletic performance, focus, memory, immune system support, and REM level of sleep, all this and more made possible affordably with no pharmaceuticals, no injections, or invasive treatments. Just socks, insoles, and patches made stronger with the tactile patterning of Vox Life products. Scientifically proven to work and guaranteed. Now in the USA, Canada, and the UK. Visit www.dianedinkmeyer.voxlife.com. That's Vox, V-O-X-X, Life. You'll be glad you did.
If I want to learn, if I reach a point in my life where I want to learn a new sport, or if I want to learn a new language, or if I want to learn how to cook, Southern Indian cuisine, right? I go and find an expert in that thing. I can only meet it as I will meet it as an individual, but I can find somebody who knows more than I do about a particular subject, and I can go and seek them out, glean the skills that I can. I can't use those skills the same way they do. Many of them have studied for decades and have had experiences that I'll never have. Right. But what I can do, and this is, and please follow up, because I think as mentors, as coaches, as people who are helpers in the world, we very often, I think it's easy for us to get caught up in our own personal issues and person dynamics, and sorting out, okay, what is theirs and what is mine. Do you ever struggle with that? Because I know that sometimes I feel like, oh, who is this wisdom for, really?
Sometimes when you are preaching, those moments come into your mind that, okay, you have been through, and what have you done to come out with that situation?
Right.
That is important. The other thing I would say is sometimes we get into the habit of overthinking, and that we call, I call in my book as analysis paralysis. So we think too much about certain things that restricts us to take an action, that does not allow us to move forward. So when we have those moments in our mind, when we are into that dilemma, I think we need to just stay put and just take an action. The worst thing that would happen is you will not get the fruitful result. And that is okay.
It is.
That is okay. That is a learning.
That's right.
I say that when you fail, it is the first attempt in learning. F-A-I-L.
And if you've learned something, it's not failure, is it? If you can walk away having learned something, I think it's the failure is the wrong word. I think we get so much. I hear it a lot in our circles.
Mm-hmm.
You know, failure is good. You must fail in order to. I don't believe in failure. Mm-hmm. I don't believe it's a thing, because we actually are learning. We are, like you say, we are in the process of learning. That's step one. When your son falls down and breaks his arm, you know he's not going to jump off the sofa again for a while anyway, right?
Absolutely.
Or he might try a different thing. So I try to sway people away from the language of failure and really think more about what have I learned, and finding the right mentor, finding the right coach is no different than go finding someone to teach you a cuisine or a sport, or it's got to be that, or a musical instrument. It's the same impulse. You may find a teacher, but you'll discover in short order that they're not the right one for you. They don't have the skills that you need, or that resonate, right? Because we all have skills.
Correct.
Right. And you and I can lay out all of our tools on the table and say, here, take them. But you can't use them the way I use them. Correct. You can take what I'm sharing with you and synthesize them with the tools that you already have that are applicable to your life uniquely. Make your own tools. Right. That's always exciting to watch.
Absolutely. And then as a coach, what I have observed with my kids and what sometimes I do with my learners, coaching is not only about the subject matter. Coaching is not about the skill that the person needs to learn. As a coach, as a mentor, we are their life coach. We have to coach them about being a better human being, being a better version of themselves. Once that happens, then those skills that they need to acquire all will become easy. But if they are not their best version of themselves, or if they are not having those life skills as basic as the etiquettes, as basic as, you know, your communication skills, your public speaking skills. So as a coach, I would say it's not about that skill. It's also about the life skills that you will cherish for lifelong, not only for that period.
And it really is about, you're right, it's not saying, you know, here's a list of skills that you need to learn. This is what drives me nuts about the people who are writing books saying, here is the answer. No, those skills have to be developed on your terms. Your version of your best self is on your terms, not on my terms as a mentor. I can't meet you and say, well, I know what's best for you. We've only just met.
Correct.
We haven't had a lifetime together. I haven't raised you from infancy. Right. we have to pick up where you left off or where you got lost, Right. And I can say, okay, well, here's some options, and you try, and it's a safe environment. Building trust is everything.
And sometimes I believe, Henry, people think that, okay, why I should invest in a coach? Why I should invest in a mentor? Everything is going fine. I have to do anyway everything. And my request and advice for those who have that mindset is, as a coach or a mentor, that individual will get those answers from you that you are not able to find.
That's right.
Because you must have heard this phrase, garbage in, garbage out.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't ask the right question to yourself, you will not get the right response. So the way the coach will help you is make you think or ask you those right questions that will allow you to think better and allow you to get those answers in you.
Yes.
And help you.
And we're permission givers. Mm-hmm. We're also giving permission to ask the questions.
Correct.
Right? Schools do not train us mm-hmm. to ask questions. Schools are training young children to fill their minds with information, but they teach nothing about how to process that information or what to do practically with that mm-hmm. information. The word educate in English, and I want to come back to language as well, mm-hmm. but the word educate comes from the Latin, educato,
mm-hmm.
which means to draw out of, mm-hmm. as if water from a well. It mm-hmm. means to lead out of, mm-hmm. not to thrust into. That is intrusion. In, meaning in, trudo, meaning thrust.
Mm-hmm.
Right? To thrust a lot of information into the heads of young. This is a huge problem that I'm facing in my work with young people.
Your generous sponsorship and individual support of the Lost Traveler podcast benefits the Lost Travelers Club, a charitable project under the fiscal sponsorship of United Charitable, a nonprofit 501c3 organization. The Lost Travelers Club focuses primarily on the needs of parents who have outlived their beloved children. We recently launched our new Brain Candy Project Wing, providing art supplies to children still struggling with critical or terminal health-related conditions. We hope to raise enough funds to launch Brain Candy, an arts and literature magazine created by and for these young people. Find out more at www.braincandy.online. Thank you.
I was just having a conversation with somebody about this the other day, about the importance of learning multiple languages. What's your perspective on that? I know English is the go-to because of colonization. I mean, that's really, mm-hmm. we're still being colonized
right.
through media and all of that. What in your experience and also with your kids, what's your position on being a polyglot?
So before I answer, my kids are learning the third language right now. They're learning Spanish. They already know English and a kind of conversational Hindi.
Yep.
And then they're learning Spanish. And my take is, when you know multiple language, it boosts your creativity. It boosts your thinking ability. It boosts your ability to have an interaction with people from multiple genre.
Yeah.
I have a colleague of mine. What he has done is he does not know most of the language, but what he knows is in at least 20 different languages, the basic conversation. Hey, how are you? Thank you. Nice to meet you. Those phrases. And it helps him. When he is traveling, it helps him to have a conversation. That's so right. I'm a believer that, yes, we need to learn multiple language to increase our reach to a different group of people.
And to build our circle of happiness.
Yes,
that it, doesn't it directly contribute? It does for me. I can only speak for myself. But having grown up all over the world, I consider myself to be, I guess, a global citizen is the catch word. But I, you know, they don't have a passport for that yet. I, the day they have one, I'll be the first in line. you know, my passport is American, but I do speak multiple languages. My son, when he was with us, he attended a Waldorf school or a Steiner school, some people call them. And from first grade through eighth grade, the students learn not only their native tongue, but two others. One is a Romance or Latin-based language, and one is not. They might learn Hindi and French, or they might learn Swahili and German, or they might learn Hebrew and Italian, right? It's to give them a cognition of how languages are related to one another, because they are. And when you're out in the world, it broadens your circle to be able to meet more people, to increase your own happiness and the happiness of others, because they feel respected that you took the time and care to understand their language and their mindset, and there I think it lies a lot of the common ground that we're looking for.
Correct. And I talk about the circle of happiness in my book, and the way I have you know, phrased it, there are five elements of circle of happiness, and the first element, and all these five elements, Henry, are related to just our own self.
That's right.
It's our own self, because we always have a choice. Being happy or being sad is our choice. So the first element is the positive mind talk. So you feed positive mind talk to yourself, positive talk to your mind. That in turn convert into a positive thoughts. So when there are positive thoughts, you tend to stay positive and happy for a longer period of time. Because the brain does not have a functionality to know whether the thoughts are real or fake.
That's right.
So if you are thinking positively, you are giving a signal to the brain that to stay happy.
And that is hard to do.
Absolutely. With,
you know, the media influence on world culture, whether it's YouTube, whether it's the news channel, people are sitting in their echo chambers, and very often that language and the stories are very negative. And so I think, like you were saying, you have to take action and you have to create the space. Abhors a vacuum. You have to create the space for something better to come in and take that space. So in nature is a great way to tune out all the negativity and engage.
Correct. And just
the next element. Yeah.
Correct. Since you're talking about negativity, according to a research, a human mind gets close to 80,000 to 90,000 thoughts in a 24 hours time.
That's true.
And the unfortunate part is 90% of those thoughts are negative. So if we don't inject that positivity in our mind, by default, negativity is there.
Yeah.
So when you have a positive thought, that converts into a positive mindset.
Yes.
So when your mindset is positive, you are more prone to take positive action. So mind talk, positive thoughts, positive mindset, positive action. When we take positive action, that's where we lead a very positive, happier, and healthier life. And that is the whole circle that I call a circle of happiness.
I love that. I love that circle of happiness. It's it's everything, right? Because when we recognize that we are pure energy, everything around us, your bookcase, the door frame, you, your kids, my dog, the planter, you know, everything around us is energy. It, we all operate on frequency and vibration. And by making a willful choice to put out and receive only a positive, high level frequency, can we start to taste it? We're just touching the hem of the garment of what's possible in that circle of happiness.
Correct. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So as we wrap up, and I can't believe it's been an hour already. I could go on for several.
Yeah.
This has been really, really fantastic. And I'm hoping that we can come back, Raul, sometime and have a part two.
Sure.
But as I did with my last co-host, I'm going to ask you to ask a question to the next guest.
Okay, so, and thank you for giving me enough time to think.
Yes.
if you ever put me on the spot, it may be a little challenging. But for me, my question to the next guest would be, what is that one habit that they inculcated in themselves which gave them miraculous result? So one habit that they have or they have built in themselves that has given them miraculous result.
Beautiful. Well, thank you so much. I'm really looking forward to getting your book, Habits for Miracles. It'll be out next month. I'll put a link in the description. Raul Sharma, thank you. I feel like I've made a new friend today. And I hope
thank you.
Stay in touch.
Same here, likewise. Thank you, Henry, and continue to do what you have been doing. If I could be of any help, please let me know. Let's stay connected.
Thank you. And if your kids want to study Spanish in Spain, I have three guest rooms and you're certainly welcome to bring them.
Awesome. Thank you. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Season 4 of the Lost Traveler Podcast with Henry Cameron Allen. Visit me online at henryallen.org. Thank you to my guests, and thank you for tuning in. Let's keep striving for a better world together.